Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Eric Nahlin, publisher, InsideTexas.com. Eric, the Longhorns scrimmaged on Saturday. You've talked to some people. I've talked to some people. Your overriding feelings from what you're hearing right now.
Yeah, last scrimmage before the spring game, obviously. They didn't go the full practice, wasn't a full scrimmage, but they did, split it up. They did scrimmage quite a bit. I think the offense had a good day, but I think the defense had a bit of a bounce back from last week. They didn't necessarily play poorly last week, but clearly the offense won. The offense might have had the upper hand barely this week, but the defense did win the one period that they actually kept score, which is the red zone period. The defense held up quite well there. And that's kind of the theme in the Big 12, or really college football in general, is if you can tighten it up in the red zone, you're going to win a lot of football games just by holding other team to field goals.
Yeah, Texas last year did well in the red zone to start the year and then cratered to end the year, essentially. So interesting to see how that works out. Other overriding storylines, it has to be, we have to talk about the quarterbacks, because that's story 1A, 1B, and 1C right now.
Yeah, the quarterbacks didn't have the same Saturday that they had last Saturday, but I think that's a function of the defensive line getting more pressure this week than they did the previous week. I think the corners are going to be pretty good, but they're also dependent on what happens up front with the D-line. Unfortunately, whereas we feel kind of confident saying that the wide receivers and cornerbacks are at least pretty good at a minimum, the zero sum kind of makes it a lot tougher to know what's going on between the offensive line and the defensive line. But one of the issues the quarterbacks had today is they just didn't have as much time as they had the previous Saturday. So that was a big theme. They still played pretty well. Each threw a pick, but neither was necessarily their fault. We'll get into that in a little bit, I'm sure. But
yeah, the other things that we were talking about, offensive line was the other thing that we wanted to find out this spring. I heard Jatavion Sanders had a good spring, or had a good game, a relatively strong period on Saturday. Gunnar Helm, Jahlil Billingsley. I think the tight end spot sounds like it's rounding into shape kind of.
Yeah, they really like what's going on with Jatavion Sanders. Pretty good blocker, but a very good receiver. Helm is, what we've been told on Helm is he doesn't do anything great, but he does most everything good. But yeah, they were really excited about Sanders after today's scrimmage. He's starting to really live up to that top billing. If he keeps playing like that, they're going to be able to be really dangerous with the formations that they can come up with. It can look like they're in 12 personnel, but if it's Sanders and Jahlil Billingsley, really you have five wide receivers out there.
It sounds like Jahdae Barron is a key focal point of the secondary based on what you wrote on Inside Texas.
Yeah, I didn't hear a whole lot about him today, but I didn't really ask a whole lot about him today. The DB I heard about probably the most today was Jaron Thompson, in a bit of a surprise, playing field safety. Had a really good scrimmage. But Barron is Barron might be the best DB on the team right now. He's been one of the consistent most consistent players throughout spring that we've heard about. I think you've heard about him as much as I have.
Yeah, it was the idea that he moved back and forth between the nickel position and cornerback that I was speaking of. And so it's interesting that the Longhorns are going to try to give that a go. The other thing that has to be mentioned is a couple of recruits that were on campus. One of them, surprisingly so, Ajai Hall, I think, is on his official, what amounts to an official visit to Texas, the transfer wide receiver from Alabama. He is on campus, and it appears the Longhorns want him and are in a key position to get him, but we'll have to see how it turns out. He's not leaving until later today, Sunday. And then O'Shawn Mathis, the defensive end out of TCU by way of Maynard High School, showed up today. We expected him next weekend for the spring game, but it looks like he came in this weekend as well. Eric, you hearing anything on those two right now?
Well, I think confidence is really high on Texas being able to close out. You know, dating back to last December, we wrote extensively that Texas was going to be gigantic winners in the portal. You know, not only with what they're, you know, we're kind of offloading, but also how they would load up. And I think that's going to continue with both those guys. Haven't heard either of them are done for sure, but I feel really confident in the current standing. Hall, you know, I'm not sure that he's a huge need, but he is a huge talent. I think he's a bit of a chaotic route runner and a bit of a mess, but man, you could see that the talent and the electricity when he gets the ball. And you know, in this offense, you can't have too many weapons. And then, you know, we've talked about Mathis extensively. He's a huge need, probably the biggest need in the program right now outside of that quarterback in New Orleans.
Yeah. I tell you what, you guys mentioned on Inside Texas that Mathis was acting like he was not part of the drills, but definitely involved in the scrimmage and in the activities today.
Yeah. He looked like one of the guys, you know, he looked like a current player that was maybe out due to injury more so than somebody on a visit. You know, we'll see how that goes. A lot of times the very first thing you hear on something is the most accurate, carries you the whole way through the whole story. And I think that's probably going to end up being the case here, but you know, got to let it play out.
Gotcha. Let's go position by position. Just tell me what you heard from the scrimmage and where you think Texas is heading into this last week of practice, essentially. Now that we're through the scrimmage, spring game is next Saturday. We wanted to mention, if you're an Inside Texas subscriber, please join us at the spring game. Eric and I will be there as well. Eric, tell me the bottom line, what you heard on the quarterbacks today. Did Quinn Ewers win that? Win the day? Did Hudson Card? Was it more of the same where you see, you know, glimpses from both?
Yeah, I think you've got two kind of different personalities there, where Quinn is more creator and Hudson is more facilitator, you know, and I think that Sark can win with both. Obviously, there's some risk reward with Ewers, but he threw a pick six today. I think Jameson had his second or third pick six this spring. But that was, you know, that wasn't his fault. Miscommunication more on the wide receiver than him. And then Card threw an interception that was tipped and actually picked off by Devin Richardson, who, you know, haven't heard a whole lot about Devin Richardson, but today had a good scrimmage. All the excitement is around Quinn because of the rating and, you know, the savior thing that all the fans look for. But Hudson has acquitted himself well this spring. They can win with either. You know, they look good today. I think Card probably had the more impressive plays, but I think Hudson probably had the more steady play.
You mean Ewers had the more outstanding play? You said Card twice. Okay, gotcha. Yep. At running back, you guys are reporting that Bijan Robinson did not have a heavy dose today.
Scored a touchdown and put him on the shelf, which is, you know, what they should do, really. I think Keelan Robinson got probably more looks than he has in the past. And I think, you know, that when they get into August, I think they're going to look for more ways to get him involved and, you know, kind of turn the page on the main playbook and go to the secondary playbook. And I think that's where Keelan's going to feature a little more prominently. But, you know, he's a good player and he got a lot more action today.
You reported that Texas had a couple more two-back looks more frequent two-back looks than before perhaps today, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I think that's just going to be a continued thing. You know, they're going to be extremely multiple on offense. You know, they're going to bounce around in personnel packages. They've got a lot of different looks they can get. They can look like they're in one, and then by the time the ball snaps, they're actually in another package. And I think that's going to be something that, you know, they're going to want to keep that under wraps. And so, but they're a lot more dynamic when it comes to the different looks they can get.
Can't believe I left this out, but I'm moving on to wide receiver. Xavier Worthy, I was told, had one of the wow plays of the day, made some folks, you know, lose their jockstrap at some point in the procession. Other than Worthy at wide receiver, Isaiah Nahor got more run with the ones again today over Marcus Washington. Is that accurate?
Well, yeah, but Marcus Washington had a good day as well, too. You know, the wide receivers are just are becoming in a position of strength, it seems. You know, we did position group rankings last Monday or Friday, I forget. And wide receivers, our source put as the second best position group on the team. And they're just becoming a lot more deep. And then we already know the talent at the top with Worthy. You know, Worthy and Bijan have kind of had quiet springs, but that's exactly what you want. Every once in a while, something happens that reminds you of why they're so great.
Yeah, I think about it in I was told that Jordan Whittington had a plausible scrimmage today too.
Yeah, another one that I should have mentioned here. He had another just extremely consistent throughout all of spring, and that continued today.
Yeah, I talked to someone or got a text from someone that said, thank God he's healthy, because he's when he is, he's really consistent and adds he's, it's not so much that he's always a threat to take it to the house. It's just that he's always good, if that makes sense. I mean, it just ups the level of ability on the field.
Yeah, I think he's actually going to show more big play ability this season if he stays healthy, just because he's going to have more space to operate. And, you know, if he's healthy, he's good. You said it best, and so far so good on that front.
Gotcha. Tight end, we mentioned Sanders and Helm, as well as Billingsley. Juan Davis, I think, still on the sidelines. We don't know really, what they're going to do quite yet with Sanders. Is he going to be more a receiver? Is he going to have his hand in the dirt a little bit? Or are they looking to move him around a bunch?
Well, I think his primary position is going to be in line. But, you know, his greatest strength is his receiving and his ball skills. And, you can get a lot of mismatches in the passing game with lined up in line. We just haven't seen it a whole lot because Texas hasn't had anybody dynamic there in a long time. But yeah, he's going to play a big factor in that overall versatility I was hinting at a minute ago. We'll broach that subject a little further down the road, but, he's a good blocker, or I should say a decent blocker, excellent receiver. But I think good enough blocker is where, what they're trying to get him at. And he's on that path.
Inside Texas is reporting that Andre Karich, the talented, offensive tackle, junior by year. I don't know if he's a redshirt sophomore officially or what have you, out of South Lake Carroll, did not scrimmage today because he has an ankle injury. It's kept him out a couple times this spring, is my understanding. In his place, Hayden Connor moves from right guard to left tackle, and Cole Hudson moves in to Connor's spot at right guard. Overall, how did the offensive line perform today? I heard what you said a little bit earlier, but any standouts to your knowledge, or are we really just getting into that situation where we don't know? It's that zero sum game that we talk about, where if the offensive line is doing good, the defensive line must be doing bad, and vice versa.
Right. Yeah. You know, I heard that my source went back to what happened last week, where the offensive line had improved. Because I broached that subject about zero sum. It's hard to get excited about the D line if the offensive line isn't that good. Well, he said the offensive line has been improving consistently throughout spring. The D line did get the better of them today, is what he said. I don't know if that's not terribly surprising. Connor's interesting. I think his highest upside obviously is that guard, but they're trying to see what he can do and can't do. He played left tackle. I think he could probably play there in a pinch. And then Cole Hudson playing a guard, as you said, very similar prospects to me coming out of high school, giant guys that are pretty mobile, smart early enrollees. And Cole Hudson's going to play next year if he stays on this current trend line. That's not to say he's going to start, but he's definitely going to play. I didn't hear much about the interior guys or Christian Jones.
I heard very little about Jake Majors. Didn't hear anything about Junior Anglauer or Christian Jones. So I agree with you on that. It sounds like it was more of a skill position scrimmage, if that makes sense, hearing that kind of stuff. Before we go to defense, Eric, I want you to give a chance to tell people about our special offer at Inside Texas right now.
Yeah, it's going to expire soon, probably right around the spring game. And so you want to give us a shot. It's 4 months for $1. Can't beat that. I think we do a really good job of covering the program. I think we have a very funny, humorous, and knowledgeable community. I made a tweet the other day that said you don't have to be on Twitter to follow Texas football. If you think like Twitter is a pretty terrible place, which, you know, I think, why don't you come over here? Anything that's on Twitter that's important is going to find its way to our site. And half the time that stuff came from our site to begin with, if it's Texas news.
Yeah. Okay. Defensive line. Wanted to start this out. I heard today that very first play of scrimmage, Moro Ojomo gets injured, but it wasn't bad. A couple of plays later, he was back in. What did you hear on the defensive front?
Alfred Collins again. I keep hearing about these upside players. The consistency is it seems to be coming to fruition with some of the most talented players, and the program's only going to go so far as the most talented players take them. And, you know, some of the guys have talent and consistency like Worthy and Bijan. Other guys have talent and haven't quite had that consistency yet. But Alfred Collins seems to be coming around. We hear his name every scrimmage, it seems like. So he had a good one. Baron Sorrell, who reported this week, one of our sources is really high on him, said he thinks he's going to have a breakout spring game. Thinks he's going to be a good player long term. He had a pretty good scrimmage as well. Didn't really hear much about Coburn. Oh, Coburn did have a tackle in the goal line that I think helped that red zone victory. Didn't hear anything about Sweat, though we have heard his name more and more this spring, it seems. Another one of those higher upside guys that seems to be bringing it when it counts. But I didn't really hear anything about the Bucks, which would be Ovi and Prince Dorba and Justice Finkley. I think Justice Finkley did have a pressure after he beat Jalen Garth. We reported that. So.
Okay, gotcha.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know, I look at that group, and I actually did hear that Sweat had a pretty good practice as well. But nothing that's just out there or what have you. At linebacker, are you still, we understand that it's DeMarvian Overshown and Jalen Ford starting right now. You said Devin Richardson had an interception today.
Yeah, he had a tip drill interception, and it, you know, he had a good scrimmage beyond that play. So, that, you know, according to the sources, but the first person he mentioned was DeMarvian Overshown. And his exact words was he's flying around again. Another one of those more higher upside guys that we seem to hear with more and more consistency. I had another guy that was there that was very high on him as well, that knows that position pretty well. And so, you know, DeMarvian seems to be well positioned to have a big year. You know, I think we've kind of always thought it was going to happen or thought it could happen just because of the baseline athleticism he has, but he's starting to not look like an athlete, starting to look more like a linebacker.
I want to say this, Eric, we're going to release this on Sunday. So we're going back and forth between saying the word today when talking about the scrimmage and for Saturday versus Sunday. The reality of it is Eric and I are taping this late Saturday for publication on Sunday. So excuse our, you know, lack of of television or video fundamentals here. Yeah. It's not our first love, I guess. We both write and report more than we do other things, but we enjoy the video format. Also, anything on Jet Bush at linebacker? I had heard some stuff on him earlier in the week. Didn't hear much lately, though.
I didn't hear anything from the game. You know, I didn't really ask about him. I tend to see, you know, ask by position and see who. That's how you're really going to get the standouts. If a good player is omitted, then I start asking about him, but. You know, that's not to say anything bad about him, but I didn't hear anything about him this week, but he did have a good scrimmage last week, if I recall correctly.
You mentioned the DBs early, and you said Jaron Thompson. I had heard that Jahdae Barron was kind of the star. You're hearing Jaron Thompson at field safety had one of the better days, huh?
Yeah, I did. I'm not surprised by Jahdae. He's been very consistent. You know, I like what they're doing, moving a corner to nickel instead of moving a safety to nickel. That's going to give you better coverage. And if Jahdae can hold up physically, which we think he can, haven't heard anything negative there, then that's all the better. You want as much coverage as possible. But I didn't hear anything about the, you know, Ryan Watts has been another consistent guy. I didn't hear anything really based on today, though.
Yep. And Jameson had the pick six. I'd heard that JD Coffey may have gotten injured a little bit, but I haven't been able to confirm that with anybody. And I don't think the university put out anything about that either. And whether or not he actually came back into practice later or what had you. You know, we didn't hear much about Keaton Crawford either. And we thought we might be hearing more about him as a possible starter. Anthony Cook. You know, I look back at this, and that's pretty much going through the roster from by position. I look back at this, Eric, and you and I have talked about this. What were the big question marks as we headed into spring, right? What were the things that really we thought they needed to address to get to that next level? We talked about quarterbacks. Well, there's a quarterback battle, right? I mean, Ewers is good. He's not just a guy. He's competing with a guy that won the starting job last year. So he's not just another guy on the roster, right? So I feel like that is good. Is it developed to the point where you like it right now, or is it meeting your expectations, surpassing your expectations, or under meeting your expectations, I guess is the best way to put it?
I wrote an article this week about development being a consistent theme throughout spring, and I feel very strongly that the places where they can develop the players rapidly, it's taking place. The other places where we're not hearing as much about development, it's because the pieces aren't quite on campus yet, and that'll change in the summer when the offensive lineman gets class and more of those edges. But every other position pretty much had players to develop outside of running back, which most of those guys are fairly developed. So I think spring ball has been a big success so far. You know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, back to quarterbacks, you know, Quinn has tons of talent. I think a lot of people remember all the busts at quarterback, and they tend to forget about all the times that the rankings have gotten quarterbacks right. And I think they tend to get rankings more correctly on quarterbacks as the years come on. Certainly, it seemed like there were more busts back, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago. It seems to be a lot better now. And I don't know how you could really miss on Quinn. Worst case scenario is that, you know, he probably throws more picks than he likes. He's still going to chunk the ball all over the place and be wildly successful. I'm not surprised by him coming on. And maybe he came on a little quicker throughout spring than I anticipated. But I think that people are getting underselling Card in this battle, because they literally could win a lot of games with Card if Card is a starter. I mean, so it's, I think they're,
so are they're surpassing is the position, in your opinion, with 1 week to go, and based on what you know, above, at, or below expectations from what you thought it would be this time right now?
I would say slightly above. Card is where I expected him to be, and Quinn is probably a little bit more based on the first couple practices further along than I thought he would be. But both guys are fairly in line with what I was expecting.
We know that the Longhorns needed the offensive line to come along. They've got to figure out who their best guys are.
Yeah.
Where are you at on that situation? Again, based on what you thought they would be, above, even, or below?
Yeah, about exactly where I thought they would be. The way that they can improve is, you know, unit cohesion. You know, you can't necessarily improve the individual parts and then they all get better, because the individual parts don't quite have as much development outside of Connor and Hudson. The other players are more well known. There's not that runway to get this development, this quick spark that they're going to get next week or next year, when all those offensive line have a little bit of experience but are entering their first full offseason. That's when you're going to see a rapid jump at that position.
At the edge, we talked about Barron. You've talked about Barron Sorrell. You've actually been a fan of his for going back to last year. It was somebody that you kind of thought might have a good run. He apparently is having a good spring. At the same time, they still need more edges. We still believe that to be case. They still need O'Shawn Mathis basically in this alignment or arrangement, as far as we think, right?
Oh, absolutely. They have to get him. Barron's going to be ready to play in more of a secondary role the following years, when Barron's going to be really ready to take off. The thing I misjudged on him was his build. In high school, I thought he was more built like Malcolm Roach. Turns out he's a lot longer and not necessarily as fully developed in the lower body. And so you can't play edge you can't play the alignments he's asked to play without developing more lower body strength. But that's going to come. Without a doubt, he's one of the hardest workers in the program, extremely mature. Everybody loves the way he goes about his business. And so he's got, you can be an upside player, but not a maximizer. So it doesn't matter. He's a maximizer. And so we're going to find out what his upside is. It just might take another year, but he's going to play a lot.
Yeah. I'm brought back to what Mora Ojomo said about him a week and a half ago. He said he's a guy that's eager to learn. Mm-hmm. And that would mean that maximizer label that you just used, I think, would be appropriate. Linebacker, above expectations, at expectations, or below?
It's above. I would say it's above for sure. DeMarvian coming of age, I think, is probably one of the stories of camp. We still want to see it with our own eyes, but it's easy for me to believe based on seeing him physically now. And then, you know, Jalen Ford has got the got all it takes to be a good player as well. And David Benn is, you know, probably the best athlete when matched to that position that they have. So, you know, I think they could probably use another body in the portal, but I like where they're at.
Gotcha. And then the secondary, have they got the unit together yet?
That's going to be the question mark, is whether or not they're playing as a unit. You don't know about that. We haven't heard a lot about coverage busts. It sounds like there's a lot of comfort, you know, playing between safeties and corners and everybody being on the same page. Safeties are probably a little bit ahead of where I expected, mainly because of the rise of Keaton Crawford. Of course, we didn't hear about him today, but, you know, J.D. Coffey's had a good spring. Check on that injury and probably write something up on that Monday or tomorrow. Which is Monday, since we're filming on Saturday, but this is being seen on Sunday. So we'll have some on that at some point. But I think the safeties are a little bit ahead. You know, Cook, I think, is a steady hand at boundary. I think they're developing more depth. You know, JD can play there, Keaton can play there, Jaren can play there. And so I think safeties are in a better spot. I still wouldn't be surprised if they went to the huddle to the portal if a good player came out. But I think they're a little bit ahead of schedule at safety.
Texas has four guys from the portal thus far. If they are lucky enough to add both O'Shawn Mathis and Ajay Hall, that takes them to six. How many can they take? Seven or eight? Is that the right number?
Yeah, I think they would have room for two more. I have to go back and look at the math. I've got it written down somewhere, but I think it's two more.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that was a big scrimmage for the Longhorns on Saturday. I think that, as Eric said, big piece of it. It was a fairly well-rounded scrimmage. They scrimmaged full field scrimmage in the first half, went to a situational scrimmage in the second half. Eric, including red zone stuff and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Correct. It was total situational. So Xavier Worthy, probably a strong player in this. Alfred Collins gets a mention to Jatavion Sanders. As well as several others that we've mentioned. All right, that's going to do it for this update of On Texas Football. For Eric Nyalin, publisher of Inside Texas, I'm Bobby Burton. Thanks for watching.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.